not quite sure where to tell you to turn in your Bibles this morning. You could find 1 Thessalonians 5:17 if you want to. We may start there and bounce around a little bit. Second in a topical set of sermons on spiritual disciplines. Don't be afraid. Spiritual disciplines are not all about, spankings from God or something. They're really more like things we do to help us be what God would have us to be. And today we turn to what I'm going to call spiritual discipline number 2, for those of you who are like me and have trouble remembering 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, I have notes so I remember, or at least I can read my notes from 2 weeks ago. We talked about the spiritual discipline of meditation, Christian meditation. Today we're talking about the spiritual discipline of prayer. And prayer is an interesting topic. You know, prayer sometimes gets used in jokes, and since I have to attempt humor every week and succeed in being funny once a year, I'm going to try this morning, you know. I think my favorite recent joke about prayer is probably an old recycled joke, but since it has to do with a hunter, it's sort of my current favorite, and that is there's a hunter in the woods, and hunter is in the woods, and he sees a bear, a grizzly bear, full charge heading for him. And so the hunter falls down on his knees and he lifts his hands to God and he says, "God, make this bear a Christian and make him a Christian now." About that time, the bear locks it up and comes sliding to a stop right next to the hunter. And the bear is on his knees. And the last thing the hunter heard, "Thank you, Lord, for this food we are about to receive. We are truly grateful." Might need to be a little more specific if you're going to pray in the woods about the bear, right? If you found 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it's a fairly short verse of Scripture, and it is an admonition by Paul to all believers that we should pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, the truth is, a sermon on prayer without ceasing would be a whole different sermon than the one I'm going to preach today, but keep that in mind, that there is this admonition in Scripture that we should pray without ceasing, that we should in some way have our minds and our hearts turned toward God all the time so that we think to call out for His help, seek His advice, be in conversation with Him about what brings us joy and what brings us pain, and just generally be conversing with God all the time with our thoughts directed toward Him. If you wanted to find Matthew 14:23, if you want to do kind of a sword drill thing to see how fast you can find these scriptures, in Matthew 14:23, we find one of these verses that every time that I think about this verse, just humbles me greatly. I would like to tell you that I pray 24/7, but most of you would probably know I was lying if I said that. I do sleep sometimes. And I tend to think that I probably don't pray enough, although I try. And this verse always humbles me, Matthew 14:23. Because it seems to indicate that Jesus needed to pray. And after He had dismissed them, He went up on a mountainside by Himself to pray. And when evening came, He was there alone. Now you see, I have in my mind the idea that Jesus had constant communion with God the Father. That being God Himself in flesh, that He knew what was going on in God's head all the time. And yet, in His physical form as a man, and the incarnation, the perfect God-man, made time to go alone and pray. If Jesus needed to do that, I need to do that, and maybe so do you. Now, there are all kinds of prayer. We've done some of them this morning, haven't we? We've done some of those types of praying that you are familiar with today. We've had public prayer, pastoral prayer that was intercessory. We've prayed for other people. You may be familiar with petitionary prayer, just sort of a form of intercessory prayer, but typically petitionary prayer is when you're interceding for yourself. You're telling God what you need, what you want for yourself. And then petitions for other people we refer to as intercession. We have this concept in our day of the sinner's prayer, a prayer prayed by a person who wants to accept Jesus as their Savior. I've always been fond of what I tend to term bullet prayers. Little bullets we fire toward heaven. Help me, God, not to run into that person in front of me. You know, help me not to be mad at the tailgater behind me. You know, help them not to die when they crash into my back end and me not to be damaged too much, right? Bullet prayers, you know. Lord, help this plane land safely. What's the old saying about, you know, there are no atheists on a plane that is crashing, right? They're all praying to something. May be the case. Those are emergency sort of prayers when we just feel the need. And then there's private prayer. And the prayer that I want to talk about today mostly that is spiritual discipline of prayer, that is the spiritual discipline of prayer, is this private prayer. And I don't know if you want another verse of Scripture, Romans 12:12, which is in a long list of things Paul is telling believers to do, and one of them is be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Which gives me the idea that the spiritual discipline of prayer requires some effort, that it takes concentrated effort, that it takes a discipline, a plan, in order to make sure that we make time and space in our lives for private prayer that connects us with God. Prayer, as a spiritual discipline, is often practiced with a couple of other spiritual disciplines, which will be next week's topic. Foreshadowing there, the disciplines of solitude and silence. But prayer is its own spiritual discipline worthy of our consideration. Now let's dispel some rumors about prayer, some myths about prayer, right? All of my life I've heard people at various times say things like, "She really prays well." Or, "Boy, he's a good prayer." What does that mean? You know, what that means is something like, they seem to have a very good vocabulary for public prayer. That's almost always what that means, is that person seems to have a certain eloquence when they pray. I have a strange feeling that some of the best prayers in the world are not the most articulate. They might not have been afforded the kind of education that makes people sound good when they stand up and talk in front of other people. That did not prevent their prayers from being very, very effective. So first of all, let's dispel the myth that you have to pray with a certain type of language. You know, there is nothing magical about "Bless me, O Lord, for thou art great." No, the King James English was nice. It's sort of poetic. If you ever learn how to roll it off the tongue, it works pretty well. But it is not more godlike than modern English is today, or say biblical Greek was when Jesus was alive, or Aramaic or Hebrew or any of the other families of languages practiced all over the world and spoken by human beings. God understands them all, whether we do or not. And quite frankly, if you start praying, you know, about the manifold spirits of God, most of us are going to wonder whether you're talking about the intake or the exhaust, not the various forms in which God appears. It's just we don't talk that way anymore, so we don't have to pray that way anymore. Sometimes we use formal language in prayer. Most of the time when I am praying in public, I find myself being fairly formal with my vocabulary. It's a habit. It's not a requirement. God understands plain language prayer just fine. And maybe that's the kind that I would encourage you most to undertake when practicing the spiritual discipline of prayer. Use the same kind of language you use when you talk to other people. Just direct it toward God. Because that's, quite frankly, the way you think. That's the language you are most comfortable in speaking and expressing yourself to God. That's an interesting sort of thing there. That was marvelous. You know, in case you haven't noticed, cell phone service has come to fly. We are connected and can communicate with other people, including God.
That was him calling.
There you go.
He said, turn it off.
Conversation with God in plain language. We will take the cell phone ringing and we will say, how is it you talk to people on the cell phone? Can you hear me yet? Talk to God in very much the same way. I would encourage you, if you have never been bold enough to actually just have a conversation with God in normal conversational terms, sort of like your best friend sitting on the seat in the car with you as you drive down the road, try it. You may find it liberating and empowering spiritually to just have a conversation with God that sounds something like, hey God, are you over there? Sure you are. It's nice to talk to you this way, you know. Do you really understand plain English? Know these and those? Sure. Great. I'm expecting today to be pretty rough. I could use some extra help. Could you swing that for me? Okay. I kind of appreciate you being with me and helping me out, you know. You'll find you can talk to God just like you talk to other people and He'll understand you. You can start with an oh God if you need to. You can just start talking to Him. He understands. There is no special code language required to open a conversation with heaven. There is no special call sign with which to end a conversation with heaven. We normally say amen so other people know that we're through. God knows when we're through. Don't you think? Conversations with God are really about connecting with Him, about expressing our trust and faith in Him, about telling Him what we need. Why? Not because He doesn't know, but because He tells us to talk to Him and tell Him what we need. I sometimes think that we need to tell God what we need and what we want Him to do so that we will be open to see how He will work in our lives and the lives of others around us. I've tried really hard to figure out why it is I got to tell God what I need when He knows what I need. But what I really have decided is that I need to tell Him more for me than for Him. And that when I tell Him what I need, it really does change my perception of His ability to act. And I believe that it does it in such a way that frees His hand to do things that He would not otherwise do. Because God honors free will. Don't want to get too deep on theology. We're talking about the discipline of prayer. And lunch is today, in case you didn't know, right? But telling God what I need allows Him to know that I'm saying, I want you to do something about this. And I'm willing to let you act, God, in my life on this need that I've expressed to you. It's really a strange thing. It's a principle you have to study the Bible hard to really sort of gather the full import of. But God has decided. Why he did this, you'll have to ask him later on, because I haven't figured that out yet. But God has decided that sovereignty, divine sovereignty, absolute power, absolute control that he can have, he has decided he will hold back. He will yield divine sovereignty to self-sovereignty. He will let you have your way. And if you pray and you tell him you want his way, you are in fact freeing his hand to do things he would not otherwise do. Plain language prayer. It's sort of instructive, and in case you want to flip to another verse of Scripture, in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, the way in which Jesus answers a question of his disciples. It's an entire study of its own to really get a handle on the Lord's Prayer as it has come to be known. It's really interesting that the Lord's Prayer is really the disciples' prayer, or the model prayer. It really wasn't the prayer Jesus prayed, it was just the prayer Jesus gave to his disciples to teach them how to pray. Matthew 6, 9. This then is how you should pray, and you know it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. If you like to put sins in the place of debts, that's okay too. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's a model prayer. It begins by letting us know we're addressing God and expressing some truth about him. And if you were going to follow this model in the discipline of prayer, the spiritual discipline of prayer, it would be good to make time in prayer to tell God about himself. Really, to acknowledge what we know to be true about God. God is holy and God is great. Spend a little time on God. Second part has more to be done with acknowledging his sovereignty and then expressing our desire that he would have his way in our life or in our world. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Surrendering our will to his will. Stages in prayer. Be willing to express your needs, to ask for what you need. For a long period of time in my early years as a Christian and really in theological studies, I struggled with prayers for people who were sick. That's kind of strange, isn't it? I seem to do it with some fluency now, I think. It doesn't bother me at all to pray for people. But I struggled with knowing what God's will is for people and then praying what God's will is for people. And then one day I was actually studying the Lord's Prayer and it dawned on me, Jesus taught his disciples to pray for their needs. And we can get all holier than thou on, you know, just pray for just what you need. But I really believe the point of give us today our daily bread is that Jesus meant for his disciples to understand God wants you to tell him what you want. God wants you to come before him and just spill your guts about what you would like to see him do. Don't try to be pious and figure out exactly what it is God wants you to pray for, and then pray for that only. Just, I'm embarrassed that it took me so long to realize this, because it's just there, plain. God's going to sort it out anyway, right? God's going to make the decisions about who should be healed and who should not. God is ultimately going to make those decisions. That doesn't change the fact that when I see somebody suffering, I want to see them not suffer. That when I know of someone who is dying with cancer, that I want some miracle to take place in their body to be free from cancer. So it's only right for me to learn, as I believe I have, to tell God what I want and trust that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He'll sort out the rightness of the request and judge on them. I'm just going to be His child and tell Him what I want. Doesn't really do us much good to hold back anyway. He knows we're holding back. So just tell Him. Forgiveness. A whole nother sermon all on its own, don't you know? I want to be forgiven in a bad sort of way. I want to live in that place where I accept God's forgiveness for the wrongs that I have done. I want to live forgiven so that when I die, I can be in heaven with God. All sins forgiven. Never hurts us to pray that way. You don't remember what you did wrong this week? It's okay, God does. You pray hard enough, He may show you what you did wrong this week. This whole forgiveness piece is so important in prayer. A heart that says, God, I want to be forgiven. And a reminder from Jesus in the model prayer that in order for our sins to be forgiven, that spirit of forgiveness needs to pervade our life. We have to give as good as we get. We have to be willing to forgive others. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That will probably get into the whole area of the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude, very closely aligned to the discipline of fasting. But we need God's help to know how we should govern our lives, what we should do, where we should be, maybe even who we should be with. All of these things we talk to God about. And when you're talking to God, don't forget that prayer should be somewhat of a two-way street. It should be conversation with God. I'm not going to tell you you're going to hear an audible voice, but I'm not going to tell you you're not either, because I believe God talks back to us. Key moments in my life, I believe God has made it very clear certain decisions that I should make. He's done that in different ways, and there certainly have been those moments when it may not have been an audible voice out in the air, but it was sure thoughts in my head as strongly as if someone was speaking to me. I pray that for you in times of great decision, God would make His will that clear for you. But it's only going to happen if you stop and listen. The spiritual discipline of prayer should be practiced faithfully. You have to make time for it. These days we drive a lot, you know. I drive way too much. I commute, I know, 2 hours a day, and I generally think that's too much. But we spend time in our vehicles, and I'm going to suggest that travel time is a great time for prayer. If your commute's 15 minutes, if it's an hour and 15 minutes, that time when you are alone in your vehicle heading for work or wherever it is you're heading is a great time to turn the radio off and talk to God. Days start out better when I make time listen to God down Leapers Creek Road. It's Interstate 65 for you. It's okay. Just remember, pray with your eyes open. The spiritual discipline of prayer, like the spiritual discipline of meditation, will help connect us to God in such a real way. We will talk with God and listen to Him. And to receive power from Him, there is spiritual power in this two-way conversation called prayer with God. There is direction from the Holy Spirit when we ask and when we listen. And the goal of all spiritual disciplines, prayer and meditation, and others, is to help us to become like Jesus, who indeed needed to pray, to go off alone, and to make time for conversation with God the Father. He needed to, we need to make it happen. You'll be the better for it. Let's pray together today. Gracious Heavenly Father, today I pray that You would be with us as we continue our journey through Lent and as we discuss the spiritual disciplines. Now meditation and prayer, and we thank You for this gift called prayer. The fact that we can talk to You and You will listen, and we pray that You would teach us that in talking to You, that we can also listen for Your voice to speak to us, Your will and Your truth. I do pray that today You bless those who have come into Your house, a blessing fit for exactly their needs in the coming week. Now, I would ask you to join me in the Lord's Prayer as we close our service today. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power,